Amen. So, you know, I don't want to break tradition and do have a song I want to sing. And I mean, I don't know if any of you saw Donald Trump and the State of the Union, but he mentioned something about, you know, through it all and how, you know, America's soul, you know, through all that America has gone through. I mean, even the hurricanes and just the different things that have happened in the U.S., through it all, that we've seen the beauty of America's soul. You know, we've seen the steel in America's spirit, and this is what new heroes are wrought out of. Amen? And God wants to raise up heroes here out of what you've gone through. I've had many tears and sorrows, and I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation, my God gave me blessed consolation. My trials came only to make me strong. And I've been to a lot of places. I've seen a lot of faces. There's been times I felt so all alone. But in those precious hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus lets me know that I'm his very own. And that's the reason why I'll say, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. And I thank him for the mountains. I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I've never had a problem, I would not know that he could solve them. I would not know what faith in God could do. And that's the reason why we sing, through it all. Come on, everybody. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. I've learned to depend upon his word. Praise God. Praise God. How many can say that? How many can sing that song? How many can say that's been your life in this season of life of through it all? I believe God wants to take us through it all, not just to stay. You may be going through hell, just don't stay there. Hey, man, you ever heard people say, I'm going through hell? Well, don't stop. Just go through it. Amen. Because that's what he does with his people. Amen. That's the only hell that you and I are going to experience is hell on earth. And so we want God to bring us through that. And matter of fact, we have a testimony on the other side. So, amen. So praise God. Amen. Let's get into the word today. And if you can turn your Bibles, as you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 22, I just want to thank Pastor Joseph and Marlene for just allowing me to come. And all you folks here, really look forward to coming to this place. It's always dear to me, as you know, I've told you before, of just growing up not too far from here. So it's always special to grow up, to come back here and think about all the different things for me personally. So thank you for allowing me to come. Praise God. As we look at Luke, let's read Luke 4:16 to 22. It says, He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as a custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up to read, and was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. I know my Bible may be a little bit different than that up there. It says to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and all the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I think we need to read that again. I think somebody needs to. God is fulfilling something in somebody's hearing today. Amen. I don't know what it is. Everybody's had their different circumstances and situations that they've gone through. But it says today. We've heard it even in our worship about today making history. It says today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all who bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? This was Jesus' State of the Union message. Just like every president has a State of the Union message. They go through all the mudslinging. They go through all the barbs. They go through all the opinions and all the other things that people think about a certain person. But then they get the bully pulpit to stand up one day and declare the reality of what's going on, like Marvin Gaye said, what's going on? This is really what's going on. Jesus had been through the mudslinging of the devil. He had been through temptation. He had been through all type of opposition when he was led in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But he came out as a victor. And I don't know what you folks have been going through in this season, but I'm here to declare that you have come out as a victor. You may not feel like a victor, amen. You may have been punched, amen. You may have been hit. You may have been lied on. You may have been misunderstood. But the scripture says, he that endureth to the end. This is race. The race is won to those who endure. How many of us can say, I've endured? Amen. God has given you that ability because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so here's Jesus getting ready to give his State of the Union message. God is preparing us for good news. We need to be prepared for good news. How many were in the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts? The motto, how many remember what the motto was? Be prepared. Be prepared. And for those of you who made Eagle Scout, I believe only 4% ever make that to the highest you can have in, you know, just preparation. Just preparation is a mixture of being ready to serve your country, being ready to serve and to help out, and even back then, help the homeless or whatever community service that you were doing. But also, there was a mixture of readiness and a mixture of organization. We got to be prepared and organized and ready to be prepared. And so God is saying he wants to prepare his people for good news. I mean, Israel had been in captivity for 400 years, and when they came out of bondage, they still weren't prepared for good news. God had to get them ready for good news by a new culture, a new way of living. That's what the Torah was for. I'm free, amen, but now we have to be prepared. When the slaves got set free of Emancipation Proclamation, we're set free. We over there barbecuing and singing, free at last, free at last. But a lot of times there wasn't a curriculum or education prepared for us to go into. We're free. We've been emancipated. Thank God for Abraham Lincoln. Thank God for Gordon Granger going into Galveston, Texas. Some slaves didn't get the word until 2.5 years later. Can you imagine good news has been sent? Abraham Lincoln proclaimed good news September of 1862. It was legislated in January 1st, 1863. But some slaves didn't get it until 65. Whether the messenger was killed, whether there was unscrupulous landowners or slave owners who wanted another crop to come out of it. Some slaves didn't get the word until 2.5 years later that they were free. And maybe the enemy's been tying you up. Daniel went and praised to the Lord, and the prayers get caught up in the rafters for 3 weeks. But God says to him, I heard your prayer. See, God has heard your prayer. God has heard your prayer here, and God is getting ready to release, download to you good news. Amen? When there was darkness on the planet, you know, God, there was darkness and chaos. God begins to bring light. He begins to arise with light. It was darkness over in Genesis 1:1. chaos, then God creates light. And he says, it's good. Genesis 1 goes through a litany of saying, it's good, it's good, it's good. It's very good in verse 31. He creates the two lesser lights, the sun and the moon. He says, it's very good. I was in Walmart this week, and I saw a lady. She was from India, and I didn't understand her name. And, you know, you see somebody's name, and they you know, she described it to me. I says, well, what does that mean? And she says, it means moon. And then I says, well, can you explain? Give me a little bit more understanding. She goes on to say that, you know, it means cool. You know, the moon, the sun, and the moon is cool. And then she goes on further to explain it meant patience. Amen. And she exemplified patience. I was, there was a handicapped guy right before me, and it took, you know how you're in line at the store? It took 5 to 7 minutes because this guy was, and there was a line, and she had just exemplified patience. She was living out her name. She was cool and patient. I mean, you know, patience comes from tribulation. To get to that place, you have to go through a few things to become patient. And here we see in verse 16 that he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And his custom was he went into the synagogue and on the Sabbath day stood up to read. And verse 17, he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he had found the place where it was written. Now, I want to talk to you right now because we want to, you know, talk about good news. But how many know, like that old saying, truth is stranger than fiction? Well, I want to say good news is stranger than fiction. And in the context that, how many have heard that saying, truth is stranger than fiction? That was in the context of Mark Twain was saying that. And what he was saying was that fiction relies on certain possibilities. Amen. We kept hearing our sister, Irene. Yeah, Irene, you mentioned it twice, that with God, all things are possible. See. Sometimes he was saying fiction relies on, is contingent on possibilities, but truth is not contingent on always our realm, our whims, or our misinformation, or how we feel about truth. God goes outside of the realm of science. God goes out of the realm of fiction. Truth stands all by itself. That's why truth is stranger than fiction. Because with God, all things are possible. With man, it's impossible. So when God is getting ready to bring good news to a person, he goes outside of the realm of how we feel or what we think or what man thinks about. When Peter was in prison over in Acts 12, James had just been beheaded. James was the first martyr of the church. And Peter was thinking, hey, I'm next. You know, and they have him. And so an angel comes and releases him and takes him through. Amen. And you know what Peter says? He says, God sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod, from the hand of the devil, from the hand of principalities and powers, and from all the expectation of the people. When God is getting ready to bring good news to you, I got a little acronym for good, and it's God overcoming others and demons. God overcoming others and demons. Been doing ministry in the hood for a number of years, and my hood acronym is helping others overcome demons, helping others overcome debt, helping others overcome discouragement. But God wants to overcome your expectations, others' expectations, and principalities' expectations to bring you something. Are you ready for that? You got to be prepared for that. And here's Jesus standing before his people. It says right here, and he was brought up there in Nazareth in a place that was on the other side of the tracks, as we would say. Richmond has a place that's called on the other side of the tracks. Is that right? Amen. Nazareth was that type of place. Nazareth can be that type of place in your life, a very humble place, a place, doesn't have to be where you grew up, it could be your church, it could be just a place, a spiritual place in your life where you've been so humbled and so broken, and the people do not even expect anything to come out good out of Nazareth, as they said. How many have been there? And it says, he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found that the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So the first thing that God, that we need to prepare for good news is God has to open up our understanding. The disciples had walked with Jesus for 3 years and they couldn't understand anything Jesus was saying. It was like trigonometry to them. Without, I know some of you guys are good in trig, so. But it was like that without a tutor. They didn't really understand. They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. They were just following Jesus. And then their reward at the end of following Jesus for 3 years, even though they hung in there, even though they didn't understand everything, is he opened up the scriptures, it says. If you read Luke 24, 45, 44 and 45, he said, then he opened up the scriptures. When he rose from the dead, he opened up the scriptures for them that they might understand the scriptures. I believe God wants to open up things for us today. He wants to open up some things that, that you've gone through. We sung a song back in the day, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints are gathered around the throne, we'll tell the story of how we've overcome. We'll understand it better by and by. We don't a lot of times understand what Jesus is doing now, but we will later. That's why atheists and unbelievers, and we were all there before, sometimes we got to catch up with what God is doing. So our mind got to catch up with what the Spirit of God is doing. How many know what I mean? Walking outside this morning, and I have a neighbor, he's an atheist. And I love to have conversations with him. And when I'm walking outside today, we start talking, and a little bit, he's a teacher, and so he's going to study some French. That's where he was going. And so I said to him, are you still an atheist? And he said to me, well, do you still go to church? I paused for a minute and said, how do I answer that? Because I'm always looking for an opportunity to try to minister. And I said to him, that's a good one, huh? I paused and I said, well, I'm trying to be the church. Then he says, I failed in that area. And he says, I know. And I'm thinking, well, where did that come from? What angle does he have? Has he heard me arguing with the kids? Has he heard me and the wife having to argue? I know none of you guys do that, though. You know, your house is right next to one another, and I'm arguing with the kids, and the wife, we're having heated discussion under the anointing. Has he heard that? That's what I'm thinking. You know, I fail. But then he says, well, no, that's the whole Christian motto. It's more or less like, you know, God, I failed, and we go before him. We shoot high, but sometimes we go low. He's sharing all this, and I'm like, wow. And I'm saying, wow, that's a really, really great answer. And I'm like, man, you know, I'm trying to give him compliments, and he's like saying, that's enough, don't go overboard. But I'm just thinking, wow. You know how when you talk to people, they open up your understanding. Well, we ought to have conversations with people all the time about things that open up our understanding. So Jesus opens up the disciples' understanding. You know, Proverbs 23:22 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, with all thy getting, get understanding. So we want God, the first thing about receiving good news is we want God to open up our understanding. Lord, open up our understanding so that we can see what you have been doing in our lives so we can respond appropriately. Verse 18 goes on to say, then the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. How many of you know can give me a definition of the anointing? The anointing, I heard one guy say, a good definition of the anointing is you know when it's not there. That's the only definition. You know, it's not there. I was at a basketball game last night, Cal, with my son, and I was talking to a guy next to me who was a Christian. And we were talking, and our conversation was so good that Cal was up by 10. And before we know it, the game was like tied, and we're sitting talking to one another about God and about all this other stuff while we're missing all the action. And so when we looked at the score, he began to pray a prayer. Lord, I anoint that shooter over there. And the guy hit a three-pointer at that time. And then he began to tell me in the story about an anointing, about a guy who worked in the gas field. I don't know if he worked as a gas attendant. This could have been years ago, but it was in the state of Montana. And the guy would come to work every day and pray over the gas station or pray over his job that had something to do with it. And before you know it, this gas or type of gas that was being sold more than any in the state, because every day he would anoint it. And the people, the powers to be, recognized that, and they gave him a trip to Hawaii and a new Harley Davidson, amen, just because he prayed over the anointing over the gas station every day. The anointing makes a difference. And this is what Jesus is saying. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, they probably are looking at him like, wow, like anointing. You got to remember the backdrop in the Hebrew culture at the time. They only felt like the anointing came on kings and priests and prophets. Jesus is a regular guy. He's a regular dude. He's a carpenter. So they're like taken aback. Who does this guy think he is? But he's coming out. Remember Diana Ross's old song, I'm coming out. We need to come out. We need to come out and let people know what's inside of us. There's something on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. And he has this anointing to preach to the poor. Amen. And a lot of times we think about the poor. We think about people who don't have money or who have resources. No, this is not just talking about the natural poor. Amen. I was talking to somebody my father-in-law owns a barbershop, and we were in, it's in East Oakland, and you know, you hear a lot of wonderful things in the African-American barbershop. And a guy was telling a story about, you know, you got engineers in Silicon Valley that are in trailers. Come on now. Everybody can't afford a $5,000 a month rent. Are you listening to me? $4,800 a month. So a lot of times we think, you know, because of the problem that they have in Oakland, the problem they have in San Francisco, you know, they have the encampments over there. It's good news for the poor. They're telling the city of Oakland right now to bring some type of solution to this poor problem. I mean, it's happening in San Francisco. I don't know if any of you have been in Oakland and seen those encampments. They have over 200 encampments in the city of Oakland. Anywhere from a couple of people tents to it could be a block of 50 people, and all the trash and all the things that are happening. They say that homelessness is the worst it's ever been right now. They're at a problem right now where it's become a health problem, and two cities in California, San Diego and Santa Cruz, people are getting hepatitis. And this is what they're afraid. That's what's going to happen in Oakland right now. But God wants to bring good news to the poor. God wants to bring good note and good news to us. He wants to bring good news to us because you know, he told the church in Laodicea that you think you're rich, you think you have all this, but you're blind, you're poor, you're naked. I mean, I was hearing a story again in the barbershop where there was the guy had made, he wasn't a commander in the army. Very successful guy. He was telling my father-in-law this, who's the barber, owns the barbershop. Very successful. Has everything a man can imagine. But he said it's nothing to mask the daddy issues that he has in his life. He's poor in his being, even though he's had everything in life. But he said something was missing. He's retired now. He's well off, very educated. But he was making this comment that nothing takes the place of my father, me not having a father growing up as a kid. He's poor in a sense. And he says now he's dedicated his retirement to helping kids and mentoring kids. So wherever we are, we might be trying to mask things by our job, by our culture, by our education. But Jesus says, blessed. When we acknowledge that we're poor, not just in resources or poor in spirituality, then we can humble ourselves and God can do something for us. I know time is moving. And it goes on to say, to proclaim, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Reading a story about Bruce Springsteen. Boss. He grew up, he was had a challenging childhood depression, and it was the musical artist songs that lifted him up to get through what he got through. And he said, the right song can change a person in 3 minutes. The right song. I want to say it's not just the right song, but it's the right words. It's the being in the right place at the right time. And here Jesus is in his family, right in front of his family. And I'm going to skip over to 21 because of time. He says, he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So we have to open up our understanding. Amen. They had a witness, verse 18. I want to say we need a witness. God has prophesied over your life. Verse 18 is what Isaiah spoke. Jesus is telling people what Isaiah already spoke. And he's saying it's been being fulfilled in him. So they got a witness. This is what Isaiah 61 is talking about for the church scripture in the year of the turnaround. That Isaiah has spoken this. But Jesus stands up and declares this, that this is in the script. Good news is in your script. I want to let you know, good news is in your script. But as he's sharing this, if you go on to the last chapter, it goes on to say that rage become to come to the people. Rage because of Jesus declaring who he is. These nice, pious Jews, nice, pious church people. Amen. All of a sudden turned and changed. They had a different type of turnaround. Amen. And rage began to happen. How many of you ever been a part of road rage? Driving along and people look normal. Then all of a sudden rage happens. You see, rage is deep-seated anger. How many know what deep-seated anger, like a volcanic eruption? Amen. And Jesus came along and began to declare to the people. And how many know situations and circumstances can come in our life and we can see rage happen? How many have ever had some rage happen in their life? All right. Nobody wants to raise their hand. Everybody's there, been there. But for those of us who had some rage or some deep-seated anger or or a teenager or a young adult in your house that's doing certain things. I was with a pastor this past week and child grew up in church all their life, and he's out there selling drugs, and just found out, I was in his office lamenting with him, that he just got caught for a murder case. And he asked, how is he going to respond to that? You see, situations and circumstances come in our life, but God wants to, out of those situations, bring good news. Now, I'm going to turn to 2 Kings 7 and close because of this, because of time. But God wants to bring good news today to you and I today. And in 2 Kings 7, and we're just going to read verses 3 to 9 about the lepers. You may have situations in your life where God wants to bring that good news in your life, but you may not feel like it's been in the script. I was talking to a script writer not too long ago. I've done professional security on movies and commercial, and I always like a story from these directors or these actors or these and this script writer was telling me, I said, well, tell me a story, like a kid in the candy store. And she was telling me one of her favorite stories was how they were filming a commercial over in Petaluma, and it was a commercial with people in tuxedos like they were doing a marriage, and they had some doves in their hand and they released the doves. Out of nowhere, the hawks came and ate up all the doves, and blood splattered all over these tuxes and these dresses. Now, take two. You just come back and you get redressed, and the commercial is filmed, and it looks like nothing ever happened. How many know all things work together for good for those who are called according to the Lord? You may have gone through some edited stuff in your life, some things that have happened. I was on the set doing a movie in San Francisco a couple years ago, and it was a very famous movie, and a guy on the street just called out of nowhere while the movie was being filmed, started preaching, evangelizing, and speaking against Hollywood. And I'm way down the street watching some really expensive equipment and not actually on the set, and they could have had, you know, there's armed guards on the set, there's policemen, and they bypassed all that, and they said, Reggie, Reverend Cousin Deacon, chaplain of security, come on over. They brought me right in the midst of the scene because they know what I'm all about, you know. And they said, can you calm this guy down for us? So I began to talk to him in Christian talk. I said, man, it's a good thing you're doing, but this is not the time. Don't speak out against this or whatever. There's other ways, you know. And I was telling him what I do. I'm on the set, and I'm talking to the actors and the directors, just normal, being a human being, and that opens the door for me to talk about Christ. And so that wasn't on the movie, but the show went on. And I'm saying that maybe you've had these type of situations happen in your life where things have happened that you didn't feel like what should be in the script in your life. But God, well, he will edit it and recognize all things that you go through work together, that it might be a testimony on the other people. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to close. It says in 2 Kings 7:3, it says, now there was four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we shall die also. Now, therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. Remember, lepers were quarantined. How many, a lot of times, you feel like you've been quarantined from what's really going on out there in the world? Christians have been quarantined a lot of times. They've been isolated from what's going on. The real world, as people say. God wants to put us back in the real world. But we've been quarantined. We've been blamed. Seems like the church has had a bad name. Right. So we're like those four lepers trying to decide, do we go? This church is going all the world. I'm going to just read these last verses, Pastor. And it says, and they rose at twilight. I'm giving you a strategy to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to outskirts, go up to Albany High. Is that right, Greg? Of the Syrian camp. To their surprise, there was no one there. See, when God says go, he's looking for our obedience. And he, as we go, God goes before us, and he's going to do miracles and scatter things out of the way, take away those fears. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled to their lives, for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, which is us, God's going to send us in, they went into one tent, ate, drank, carried from it silver and gold and clothing. Amen. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. This is the year of Jubilee. Are you ready? And went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some there also and went and hid. And in closing, in verse 9, it says, then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. I want you to say that. This day is a day of good news. Goes on to say, And if we remain silent, if we wait until morning light, some punishment, some calamity will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're trying to prepare us for good news. And, Lord, to prepare us, you have to break down, you have to edit some of the things that have happened in our lives. All things work together for good. And you raised up Jesus first, to bless your people first. You raised him up to bless your people first. And meaning that to bless means to speak well of. And I believe that you're speaking well of over your people. You're speaking well over this church. It don't matter what we've done or what we've said. It's God's time. It doesn't matter on whose side we are on or side we're not on. It's God's time. And when it's God's time, let us be prepared for good news. And for the good thing God is getting ready to do. So we thank you. Bless this church. Lord, prepare us for what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Reggie.